You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we began to talk about the Song of Moses, the victory song of Yahweh throwing Pharaoh's armies into the sea. And as you recall, we were making the note of how this song echoes in the other places of Scripture. For instance, in Psalm 118, Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh exalts. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. And we also noted that this is echoed for us also in Isaiah chapter 8. In particular, we had noted that Psalm 118 is about the rejection of the stone. The stone that the builders rejected, and that's why when we look to Isaiah, we begin with Isaiah chapter 8, that he is the stone of offense, the rock of stumbling, but yet he is the sanctuary. And later on in Isaiah chapter 28, we noted that he is the stone who is the foundation in Zion, the tested stone, the precious cornerstone. And whoever believes in him will not be in haste. Now let's go ahead and go back to Exodus chapter 15, and let's look at the totality of this victory song of Moses. So let's go ahead and begin with verse 1. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and said, I will sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has thrown the horse and his rider into the sea. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea. His chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Yahweh, is glorious in power. Your right hand, Yahweh, dashes the enemy in pieces. In the greatness of your excellency, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send out your wrath. It consumes them as stubble. With the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flood stood upright as a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the plunder. My desire will be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You, in your loving kindness, have led the people that you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have taken hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling takes hold of mighty men of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. terror and dread falls on them. By the greatness of your arm, they are still as a stone, until your people pass over, Yahweh, until the people you have purchased pass over. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Yahweh, which you have made for yourself to dwell in, the sanctuary, Lord, which your hands have established. Yahweh will reign forever and ever. Now, this is the song of Moses, the victory song of Yahweh triumphing gloriously over Pharaoh. So Pharaoh and his might and his hand raised up against God, but God's right hand delivered the Israelites, and he destroyed Pharaoh's armies. Now again, remember in Exodus chapter 14, Moses had told the people that they would see the salvation of Yahweh. And in Exodus 15, the people cry out, Yahweh is my salvation. Now again, in the Old Testament, when we look to the salvation of God, in all of these saving events, that God is a Savior, that this points to the person and work of Christ, who is Jesus, the one who will save us from our sins. So all of these salvations that we see in the course of these events of the Old Testament point to the greater salvation from death and the devil and from our own sin. And that is why, precisely, that even in the time of Easter, we sing a lot of these victory-type songs, that Christ has won the victory over death. For instance, in the season of Easter, we sing, the strife is over, the battle done, now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the song of praise begun. Where you go on and you say, the powers of death have done their worst, but Christ, their legions, hath dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. Or, for instance, in another very famous Easter hymn, we sing together and we say, O sons and daughters of the King, whom heavenly hosts in glory sing, today the grave has lost its sting. Or, of course, in the Victime Paschali, death and life have contended in that combat stupendous. The Prince of Life who died reigns immortal. Now, of course, going back to the Song of Moses, notice that it ends on the note that Yahweh will reign forever and ever. Yahweh is King. And of course, that gospel proclamation at the time of Easter is that Jesus is King. He has come to protect his people, to provide for his people, to give them life and eternal life. He is their salvation in their song. And that is why, precisely, in the Song of Moses, we rejoice and we say, Yah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And that's exactly what we were doing in Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. That what we see in the Exodus, the deliverance from the oppression of the tyrant Pharaoh, this is a picture of the greater Exodus, the new Exodus. The Christ comes to deliver us from the greater tyrant than Pharaoh, the tyrant of tyrants, which is the devil himself, who pursues us, who seeks to destroy us, who seeks to put an end to our faith and our trust in the promises of God, all fulfilled in Jesus. Well, Christ is Yahweh's salvation. He is Jesus. He will save us from our sins. And that's precisely why we were looking at the book of Isaiah, which lays out this whole new Exodus for us. Again, we were talking about the stone that he is that stone of stumbling, that rock of offense. But yet he is the sanctuary. That is, he is the place where Yahweh sanctifies us and makes us holy with his holy blood. So in Isaiah 8, we're talking about this rock, this sanctuary. And then in Isaiah 28, we're talking about this rock as the tested stone, the precious cornerstone, the sure foundation, the foundation that Yahweh has laid in Zion. In particular, the Father sent forth the Son, and then the Father raises the Son from the dead as a vindication over death. And whoever believes in him will not be in haste, but instead have eternal life and salvation. Well, in the book of Isaiah, you're sandwiching these texts of the stone, echoing what we saw in Psalm 118, and of course, what we will eventually see in Exodus chapter 16, where the stone is struck. Now, let's take a look again back at Isaiah. In particular, it's in Isaiah chapter 12 where we hear the echoing of this song of victory. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Now it's in chapter 12 where we are told that in that day we will say, I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Of course, what's the anger of God? Well, it's the wrath that's provoked because of our sin. In the sending forth of the Son, who took the wrath of God upon himself on the cross, he takes the sin away and thus the wrath of God away from us. And it is in the person and work of Christ that we find true comfort, comfort in the conscience, for he is king of the conscience. And therefore, we can sing with joy and draw waters from the wells of salvation. Jesus is our salvation. And Isaiah 12 goes on to say, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deed among the peoples and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to Yahweh, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Now that's in chapter 12 where we echo these words of the victory that Yahweh has done gloriously to defeat death in the new Exodus that we're looking for, patterned after the Exodus out of Egypt, being redeemed from the house of slavery, from the hand of the Egyptians, from the hand of Pharaoh. Well, in Isaiah chapter 12, that of course is set up right after Isaiah chapter 11. Imagine that. The verses go in sequence. Well, in chapter 11, we're talking about the new David, the true David, the son of David, the one who will come to deliver us from our sins. And so in Isaiah chapter 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. Well, it's in chapter 12 that we learn about this song that is sung in response to what we learn in chapter 11 about the new David, shows forth the new Exodus. And thus, in chapter 11, it ends on the note that in that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Well, it's in chapter 12 that begins and says, in that day you will say, and then you sing, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for God is my strength and my song. Now again, note that in the book of Isaiah, we are looking for the true David, for the true king and the kingdom of God. Well, that song of Moses, the victory song in Exodus chapter 12 ends on that note, Yahweh will reign forever and ever. We're looking for the reign of Yahweh in his kingdom. And how does God's kingdom come? Well, when his word is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit is given, so that we would believe that word and begin to live lives in accordance with that word. Right teaching and right practice. Rejoicing in the fact that Christ has come for us. He came to claim us. He came to name us. He came to be our King, to provide for us life and eternal life, and to protect us from our enemies of sin, death, and the devil. So when Yahweh reigns, we have Christ who is Lord. That's the confession of our faith. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Yahweh. He is the King of the heart. He reigns in the heart with the gospel of peace. Now notice that in the Psalms, we're constantly singing about the coming of Christ and the coming kingdom of God. Thus in Psalm 10, Yahweh is King forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. Now that's Psalm 10. And again in Psalm 29, Yahweh sits enthroned over the flood. Yahweh sits enthroned as King forever. Then, of course, in Psalm 146, Yahweh will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise Yahweh. And when we go through the Psalter, we also will note that in Psalm 93, Yahweh reigns. In Psalm 96, this is where we rejoice in the proclamation of Christ who has come to restore creation. That in Psalm 96, we talk about how this message of salvation will go to the nations and go to the ends of the earth. And so thus, in Psalm 96, we invite the nations, those who have not heard this wonderful word, to rejoice with us, to sing with us this song, the song of victory. And thus, in Psalm 96, at verse 10, say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. Of course, that is Yahweh kings. He is king. And yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And it's in that same Psalm 96 that opens with the words, Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth, that the earth would join in this song of victory with us. And in Psalm 97, verse 1, again, it opens by saying, Yahweh reigns. Yahweh is King. Now, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is King. And in particular, it is in the crucifixion. It is on the cross where Jesus reigns from the tree. Especially we can see with that title over his head, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That message is to be sent to the ends of the earth, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, that Jesus is King. He is King of the conscience, and his kingdom comes with the proclamation of this glorious word. He is victorious over death and the grave. Now, one more psalm, just to kind of bring this all home, that this is about Christ the King, Christ reigning over death, sin, and the devil. In fact, it is seen clearly in Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness before your companions. Now, a couple of quick words here. Notice that we're talking about all three persons of the Blessed Holy Trinity. So you have the Father, who has anointed the Son with the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness beyond his companions. That was at the baptism of Jesus when the Father declares the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he was anointed with the water and the Holy Spirit being seen in the form of a dove. According to his human nature, He was anointed or christened. He became Christ, Messiah, when the Holy Spirit came upon him in the waters of holy baptism. Of course, in the book of Hebrews, the author tells us precisely that these words of Psalm 45 are the voice of the Father speaking to the Son. But of the Son, the Father says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." Of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 1 tells us clearly that this is the voice of the Father speaking to the Son. Now, when we are looking for Yahweh reigning, in particular, we are looking for the promise of the incarnation, where God becomes man and dwells among us. The eternal Word became flesh and tabernacles amongst us. Now, this is that picture of Yahweh coming to act. Now, like we said before, that when we make this distinction in the plurality of the persons of the Blessed Holy Trinity, we see these distinctions clearly when you have a messenger being sent. And so you have one who sends and one who is sent. Now, the messenger, the message, the Word is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's the one to bring the message. He is the message. Of course, in the New Testament, we rejoice that he is the incarnate message. He is the incarnate salvation of Yahweh. He is Jesus, Yahweh who saves. But go back to the Song of Moses, picking up with the verses that say Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea. His chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Now, this song of victory is very familiar in the words of a mighty fortress. Notice that it is a song of triumph. That Christ is the one who comes and he is gloriously defeating death and the devil. So in particular, in a mighty fortress, we sing that Yahweh is a man of war. Well, how do we do this? We, of course, say that he's a mighty fortress. But in particular, notice that in these verses, in Luther's great hymn of the Reformation, we contrast the victory of the valiant one over the old evil foe. Thus, we say, the old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. Now, notice that imagery. The image of the might, the power, the arms in fighting. These are all military terms. And, of course, these are all pictures of what took place in Exodus. That the hand of Pharaoh was strong. His army was with him. The Israelites, the people of God, were trapped. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. And there is no equal. The people can't stand up against him. And thus, we say humbly, with might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. Now, this is that same image, the image of the Old Testament Exodus. You're going out of Egypt, and now you have been surrounded by Pharaoh's armies, that silly statue of Baal, the water, the mountains, the whole area. You are now trapped and cornered, and therefore, our losses would soon be affected. But in Luther's hymn, notice how there's the but, and buts tend to be big. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Now this, of course, is Yahweh, the man of war. He is the salvation of Yahweh. He is Jesus who comes to save us and to conquer and defeat the devil, sin, and death for us. We will see his salvation, but we see his salvation with our ears by hearing the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. Now notice in A Mighty Fortress, this great victory song, we say, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, that's like that same image that you see at the Red Sea. The Israelites are surrounded. The whole world, it appears, is filled with the foes who are standing against them. But in the hymn, we say, we tremble not, we fear no ill. Of course, these words of Luther echo the words of Moses, in which Moses says, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. Again, notice in Luther's hymn, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. Now notice again, it's the old evil foe. He's the one who is the prince of this world. He scowls and makes all kinds of threats, just like Pharaoh, saying, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the plunder. I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. Yet we know the hand of Yahweh is more powerful than Satan. Christ is the stronger man who defeats the strong man. Thus, in Luther's hymn, we go on and say this. With eyes of faith, we see Yahweh's salvation. The valiant one fights for us, whom God himself elected. Of course, ask yourself, ask ye, who is this? It's none other than Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Now notice again that he is the Lord of Sabaoth. He is Yahweh of hosts, and there's none other God. Of course, notice that Moses will put this same idea into these meditative questions, these rhetorical questions in which we know the answer. So Moses says, who is like you, Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. And thus Moses gives us that confession of faith. Yahweh is a man of war, Yahweh's his name. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Of course, on the flip side, those who reject the word of God, who resist the work of the Holy Spirit, who try to fight against the hand of Yahweh, these are the peoples who cling to another God. And thus, in the text of Moses, the peoples have heard and they tremble. We talk about the inhabitants of Philistia, the chiefs of Edom, the men of Moab, and the inhabitants of Canaan. Terror and dread falls on them because of the greatness of Yahweh's arm. Well, the arm of Yahweh is the valiant one whom Yahweh elected, and he's the one who fights for us. Therefore, we tremble not, we fear no ill.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.